Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. It is a good morning, isn't it? Even if you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, even if you have a headache or you're exhausted, even if you have a really busy day ahead of you that might actually include some stress, or at least you anticipate there might be some stress, it's still Friday, and it's still the last Friday before Christmas, and there's still so much to be excited about as a sports fan, but also as someone who celebrates the holidays. Yes, I'm speaking for you. No, I will not accept crankiness this morning. It's a Friday, and it's Friday, December 20th. It's a lot to be excited about if you're a Star Wars fan, too, because the movie is now out. And I know for many people, Christmas plans, Hanukkah plans, they're on hold to make movie plans. Chris is going to see it this weekend. Brian is going to see it within the next few days. I will be the last of us to see it because I don't have plans to see it until the 30th when all of my family is in town. But the initial family invasion begins tomorrow, Saturday, and so I'm giddy, just really excited to finally have my mom back visiting me. It's been 4 years. She does not like to fly at all, so this is a big deal for her, and she'll be staying with me for 11 days. How many arguments do we think we will have in 11 days? My mom and I, she's my best friend. I love her. I could not live without her, but we bicker. Just like she did with her mom. And it's going to be peace and joy and love and rest and lots of food and hopefully no bickering. We have puzzles to do, and we have some fun plans, like we're going to see the Rockettes at Radio City Music Hall. My mom's never seen them. I've only seen them in other places like Nashville. I've never seen the Rockettes in New York City. And so we're really excited to do that. And we're going to visit the Met. I'm not really an art girl, but she loves art, and so we're going to go visit the Met. I think we're also going to visit the Intrepid, which is more my style. It's a World War II aircraft carrier. That's right up my alley. The deck of the Intrepid is full of old airplanes, so like a Blue Angel, a Tomcat, that kind of stuff. And so that's so me. I know lots of people have plans for the next week and a half, and I hope that you have a wonderful Christmas and the happiest of New Year's. We will still be here. Chris and I will be here. Wait, Brian, are you with us on? No, who's? We have some. Oh, Dave's back on Sunday night. Okay, so Brian's with us on New Year's Eve. Dave is with us on Sunday night into Monday following week 16 of the NFL season. So we are still going to be in and out a little bit. But yes, this is kind of where the holiday action gets revved up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. If you're just waking up on this Friday, well, I'm kind of jealous, but you missed the elf, the story of the elf here at CBS Sports Radio. I've been keeping him company. He's been keeping me company for the last few hours. I had to liberate him. He still had his price tag on when they decided to decorate the studio with this elf. I felt bad. I felt like that was kind of cheesy. So I took the price tag off, and now he needs a name. And we're very close. We've got some really good submissions. But if you want to see the elf, he is on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on Facebook. And we're taking your names for the elf. I originally started out wanting Legolas. Legolas. And Chris was going with Elfish. Elfish Presley. He got a last name. Brian still is in the wind. Are you still in the wind about the elf?
I think I've been settled on Smalls, honestly.
Smalls, except he's Talls.
But I love the irony in that.
Okay.
Everyone's favorite thing about Christmas, the irony.
Huh. Okay. You're such a jokester. So maybe Sheldon Smalls. He's kind of a nerdy elf, which is an elf after my own heart, because he's He's dressed like a nerdy elf. Again, just check out the picture. But I do love nerds. And from one nerd to another, maybe we'll work Smalls into his last name. So check out the elf on social media. And while you're there, what's the game you're looking forward to the most this weekend in the NFL slate? We've got a triple header on Saturday, tomorrow. Whoa, tomorrow. And then we also have the rest of the games on Sunday, Monday. So the only difference this week was no Thursday game, but it kind of felt weird. I was Christmas shopping at the time that I'm normally watching football, and I kind of felt like I was missing something. Like I was cheating on my work. But I had to finish my Christmas shopping and get my Grammy, my 97-year-old Grammy, her present. I did find a good one. It was fun. So coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to talk Packers and Vikings, as well as the Milwaukee Bucks, who are now the team with the best record in the NBA. They handed the Los Angeles Lakers their second straight loss, on the road after 14 in a row. And it was a career night for one Giannis Antetokounmpo. We did have a suggestion that we name our elf Elvis Antetokounmpo. I mean, I feel like that's way too much responsibility to saddle this elf with. Anyway, so it was a huge night for Giannis, as they usually are, but this one included 5 triples, a career high for him. He had 34 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. And even though LeBron had a triple-double and the team shot nearly 50% from the field, the team, the Lakers, also gave up 42 points in the second quarter to Mike Budenholzer's Milwaukee Bucks, and Milwaukee finished on top and now has 25 wins.
Proud of the effort, especially defensively, first quarter, first half, where we could create, whatever it was, 16, 18-point lead. And then we felt like we kind of just held on from there, but, the crowd was amazing.
The crowd certainly being an advantage. And for the Milwaukee Bucks, their fan base, they've got some unfinished business. The Lakers have been playing great on the road. They've played the majority of their games on the road to start this month, which is kind of nice for them, though, because they'll be headed home, actually. They host, using my air quotations, their home at the Staples Center to host the Clippers on Christmas Day. That's one of the 5 games that the NBA has dressed up as your Christmas gift. So we're going to talk some Bucks basketball as well as Packers and Vikings coming up when we head to Milwaukee. That's inside of 15 minutes now here on CBS Sports Radio. Doug Marrone has got to know that his job is in jeopardy. Now, the owner of the Jaguars, Shad Khan, has said for the rest of the regular season anyway that Doug Marrone and the front office will report to him directly. But Tom Coughlin's already out. That move got accelerated. It was coming. The owner admits it was coming. But he said it got accelerated by this whole situation with the NFLPA and the memo that the union leadership put out suggesting that players be wary and beware of signing with the Jaguars. Man, that is so damning. Talk about staining your reputation. It's hard enough to get good free agents to a place where your team doesn't have a winning tradition, a tradition that's not recent, right? So even 2-3 years of losing is a lot for a free agent who gets to pick where he wants to go and recognizes that you only have a limited window to try to win a title and to compete for championships. And to add this on top of it, even firing Tom Coughlin, I'm not sure that does enough right now. Not with what Jalen Ramsey said on the way out and the way his exit was handled. Not with what Dante Fowler has said since. Not with now what has become exposed as excessive fines and player grievances over and over against the team. And do you want to know what? AJ Boye actually was making a joke about Tom Coughlin leaving. He clearly is not torn up about it, but if you have ever heard this story, you know that when Coughlin got hired by the Jaguars a few years ago, one of the first things he did was to turn the clocks forward 5 minutes so that it looked like, you may have think you showed up on time, but it looked like you were 5 minutes late when you got there. So Boye got to the facility on Thursday and did a double take.
That's the first thing I noticed when I got in here. I thought that I was late for me. As I look up, I had an extra 5 minutes, so I was good. So that's the only thing that's really changed. But like I said, the approach of the players and the coaches are all still the same.
All right, so he says the approach is the same, but you can kind of hear that he's not torn up about it. And I think we had a caller, actually, who made this point that for the Jaguars and Tom Coughlin, the heavy hand, it got to be too heavy. And players kind of, I wouldn't say revolted against it, though I guess some did. But players got tired of feeling that heavy hand. And so you have to be able to adjust. You have to be able to be flexible with the times in a new generation. And it's no surprise. This is not a hot take to say that Tom Coughlin's not the same generation as most of the players in the NFL right now. And the coaches and the general managers who survive are the ones who recognize there's a different way to communicate, that there are different rules. Sometimes you have to maybe let go of the things that were important to you when you were playing or when you were in the league, and recognize that to be a player's coach is to treat them like men and to have high expectations, to understand and to make them understand that preparation and professionalism are key, but to not necessarily come at them with this, hey, it's my way or the highway. Now, the best coaches can balance the two. You cross Pete Carroll, and you're on your way out of Seattle. Let's just be honest. Percy Harvin's a great example of that. He does not fit in, and it wasn't the way Pete Carroll wanted to do things. But what does Pete do? He allows these guys to have personalities. He allows the Seahawks to be who they are, to express themselves. He's a cheerleader. He supports them. And so there's a lot of managing there as well as being the head coach. And Tom Coughlin, it seemed like at least the time had maybe passed him by, or he didn't adjust. But his agent says he's not done with football. What about Doug Marrone, who also may be a casualty of this season in Jacksonville?
I think that, you know, obviously it's a tough situation, you know, and it's never any one person's fault. You know, we're all to blame, you know, for what's going on, you know, during the season.
I would agree with that. I absolutely never, ever would be so myopic as to put all the losses or all the strife at the feet of one person. It's not that easy. Not when you're talking about 53 guys on an active roster, a front office, a large coaching staff, a practice squad, an owner. No way. It's difficult to get everyone on the same page. And it's always a situation, and even in Dallas, as much as people want to blame Jason Garrett, where, you know, everybody has got to be accountable for what they've either done or not done. And so here's Doug Marrone trying to get his guys ready to go, maybe feeling like dead man walking. And what do? You stand there and you talk about football.
Right now, what is important to me is obviously, you know, my job is to lead these coaches. And that's what we did, you know, last night, game planning, and, you know, lead these players and do the best job I can for them, you know, to really win these next two games.
I mean, you just got to toe the line. What else are you supposed to do? You wait until you find out that you're no longer the coach. Was it Jay Gruden who recently, I mean, man, it feels like recently, but it was a long time ago now, who said, I'm going to continue to show up and coach as long as my key still works? Was that him? I mean, Doug Marrone's not quite saying it that way, but he's saying the same kind of thing. Hey, Dave, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Chris, this is an interesting suggestion, and the reason I called you Dave or said Dave is because it's coming from a Dave. So how about UConn Cornelius?
listener retention, many points for that one. I like
yes,
it.
That came from a David. And the only problem is that our elf does not have facial hair. He is as clean as a baby's bottom. So no facial hair here on our elf. But I do like the fact that he recognized UConn Cornelius has red hair and our elf also has red hair. You want to know what that would be? It would also be ironic. Anyway, coming up next, we're going to spend some time in Milwaukee, Packers, Vikings, Bucks, Lakers, not so much Lakers, more Bucks. But it's a good time to check the pulse of Wisconsin sports fans. Plus, my Grammy's up there, and I miss her. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Giannis pulls up for his fifth three. Good! A, B, C. Easy as 1, 2, 3 for the MVP. 14-point lead for the Bucks. 5 made three-pointers for Giannis. A career high for one game. And he's doing it on a big stage.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Giddy up, giddy up.
It's that time of the year. We're giddy. We're doing a holiday countdown here on the show. And of course, a lot of you tell me Christmas is the start of the NBA season for you personally. In case you need to know, the Bucks have the best record in the NBA. First team to 25 wins, Giannis, with 5 triples. So he's extending his range, and he says he's proud of the way he's improved his game as the Bucks take out the Lakers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Ted Davis is the play-by-play voice of the Bucks on their radio network. And we are pleased to welcome Chuck Freeman, who is the co-host of Chuck and the Chuck and Winkler Morning Show on our affiliate, 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee. This is maybe not a fair question to start with, but I'm firing it up anyway. What's the bigger story right now, Packers or Bucks?
Amy, the Packers are always the lead story here in Wisconsin, even though the Bucks, unbelievably, are 25-4 at this point. And, you know, it's still a little surreal to see that, and the Bucks have won 19 of their last 20, and just unbelievable. But that game, that Monday night game, that might be the biggest game in Minnesota the Packers have played with this much on the line, than we've ever seen. I mean, there's so much on the line for the Packers in this game, but man, you have two mammoth games, nationally televised games in the span of a handful of days here in Wisconsin, and people are loving it.
Well, good. How much excitement was there for this game against the Lakers, considering, we'll talk Packers, but considering that the Lakers had done so well on the road, that it's LeBron James, and that the Bucks now have a team that can beat LeBron James?
Yeah, you know, the players kind of downplayed that. Giannis and then LeBron, and I was in the locker room last night, and LeBron was, you know, I mean, you couldn't tell if LeBron won or lost. You know, he's been in a million type of these games. You know, he's been in NBA Finals Game 7 today, so it's, you know, it's just a walk in the park for him. So I think this was a bigger deal for, you know, us here in Wisconsin and Giannis. You know, we haven't had a championship in the city of Milwaukee since 1971, a pro championship when the Bucks won, and the Brewers have never won. So this is a big deal for people here. I mean, to have the best record in the NBA. But as Giannis said after the game last night, he goes, hey, you know, come in the spring, no one's ever going to remember this game. This is this is going to be a game that no one's going to think about. And you know what? It's not going to mean anything if the Bucks fold like they did against Toronto last year in the Eastern Conference Finals.
How much do you think that was about the team collectively not having a lot of playoff experience?
Last year, probably. I mean, you know, they got a little bit more playoff experience this year. Getting Kyle Korver, I think, is a huge boost. I don't think they're done. I think they could ask another piece before the trading deadline, but yeah, I mean, but you know, Toronto didn't have a heck of a lot of playoff experience, but
oh, hey,
you
know, Kawhi
looks to be better than it was last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, you say that, but then you talk about Kawhi Leonard, who'd already won an NBA Finals MVP somewhere else, and just that's what it felt like to me when I think about that series, when I talked about it, maybe just a little bit of the experience advantage in that putting them over the top, because we knew the Bucks had the team, just with the bright lights, maybe some tightness, maybe some pressure that got to them, and that's okay. A lot of teams go through that. Giannis said he's proud of the way that he has continue to improve his game. What do you see that's different, better?
Well, we've all said once Giannis starts burying those three-pointers, he's going to be unbelievable. And you know, he was great before that. But and I didn't really think that Giannis had to start making these threes to become, you know, an all-world player. He was the MVP without that. And, you know, quite honestly, you know, in the past when Giannis has shot that three, I'm like, oh, my goodness, don't be shooting that. But, you know, they are not honoring the three, and I'm talking about defenses. They're not honoring that three, and Giannis is pulling up and burying him. Now teams are starting to edge out toward him, and, he, you know, you just heard the fifth three-pointer. You know, that's a career high for him. You know, if they're going to go out and guard him, Giannis is so good off the dribble, he's going to burn by these teams. And, you know, if he's got single coverage, I don't know. I mean, Giannis is going to take his game to a new level. He had the 34 last night, but I mean, he's got almost as many threes this year as he had the entire season last year already, Amy.
And even if he doesn't shoot them like that every game, the threat of the three-pointer has to extend defenses. There's no way that they can clamp down and clog the paint opponents if they know that there's a chance he can step out and hit a three.
Yeah, I mean, that's how Toronto stopped them last year. They built this wall in the lane, and Giannis had problems. And Giannis hasn't seen that this year. Giannis has seen a lot of single coverage and teams not coming out and stepping out and guarding that three. you know, he's been on the wing, and that's where he's at his best. When he's lining up on the left wing or the right wing and lining up that three, he'll get there. You know, the big fellow will get up there, and he'll take a look at that rim, and you're like, oh, no, don't shoot it, don't shoot it. But he's hitting them. Mm. He's hitting them, especially here in the last month and during that 18-game winning streak that just ended on Monday night. So, you know, once teams are going to start scheming to stop that three-pointer, it opens up so many different things for his game and the Milwaukee Bucks.
Chuck Freeman with us from 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee, where it's how cold right now, Chuck?
You know, it's 26, so it's actually balmy out here.
Wow. Yeah, it is.
I was walking to my car last night and thinking, Amy, man, this is I could take this, and it's going to be 40 sometime today. So
wow.
That's not so bad.
Considering that yesterday morning when I walked my dog, so not quite 24 hours ago, it was -4 in my neighborhood, I think that, that would feel like spring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is we got worse days coming. And, you know,
of course,
this is probably going to last till at least 4th of July. But you know, I'm hoping to get at least 6 weeks of golfing after that.
I was going to say, no golf weather until then. Well, I know that my grandma's burrowed in. She hasn't gone out for a while because you guys have had snow already now for a couple of months. Okay, so Chuck, let's talk about Packers and Vikings. I hear Aaron Rodgers say, we need to be a complete team. We're working on that. It's the four quarters thing. How close do you think the Packers are to putting it all together?
I think they're a year away yet, Amy. I mean, I don't think the Packers have enough speed on the perimeter at wide receiver. They got two playmakers on offense. The defense has taken a step back. And then you're wondering, boy, how's this team 11-3? I don't know if they have any great victories this season. This on Monday night against Minnesota would be the greatest at all. I mean, to win the NFC North would be just amazing for a team that, you know, who has missed the playoffs the last 2 years. And I didn't have a lot of high expectations going into this season. But
you didn't?
You know, they're going to be the mix.
What were your expectations to start the year?
9-7.
Really?
9-7.
Is that because of the new coach thing?
Well, yeah, I thought the new coach, I just thought, I didn't think, you know, I don't, they're not a great team. They're a team who's got maybe 9-7 talent. I think they're playing a little over their heads a little bit. And, you know, they need to, I mean, I think when they go into the off season and the draft, you know, they're going to, they don't have a legit number two wide receiver. They got some holes on the defense. You know, adding Zadarius and Preston Smith as pass rushers on the defense, great. But, you know, on offense, there's Aaron Jones, Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, Devontae Adams, that wide receiver, and there's a steep drop off of guys who can make plays on that team.
No Jamal? You don't put Jamal in that category?
No, nice running back, but I mean, you know, he's a backup running back, and that's a nice 1-2 punch between him and Aaron Jones. But man, they just you know, for Rodgers, their bread and butter is the passing game. You wouldn't think in Wisconsin, you know, we'd be talking about a passing game where you would think, you know, in the cold temperature we have, the Packers should be getting it done with a solid ground game and a rock solid defense. But instead, we like to pass the ball around the yard here in Wisconsin and with Favre and now Rodgers, and whoever's next after Rodgers. But, I don't think their time is here yet. But, you know, who knows? But, I mean, the NFC playoffs are going to be great. Mm. You've got the sixth seed right now, Amy, with 10 wins. You have you're going to have a loaded NFC playoffs this year.
Do you make people mad when you talk about this on your radio show?
Oh, yeah. If you predict... You know, like I predict that Green Bay is not going to go into Minnesota to win. You know, you pick against the Packers here in Wisconsin, you get crushed, and then those same people are coming at you on Twitter, or are coming at the Packers on Twitter. You know, and the next thing you know, they're down, you know, 30-17 in Minnesota, and those same people are coming at you are coming at the Packers.
Well, I'm glad that you don't back down there, Chuck. You sound like a seasoned vet. And also, it's good to give people something to debate. I would agree with you. They haven't always played like a complete team. But the part that has impressed me is that it's not just the offense that has to win games. There are games where the offense has not been there in the second half, and the defense has helped to close. Like the game they just had, what was it, 2 weeks ago? Gosh, who were they playing?
It's Washington.
Yes. No. Okay, well, recent game, they didn't have a first down in the fourth quarter, and they were still able, maybe it was Washington, they were still able to, because of the defense, keep their opponent at bay. So I feel like that's a more balanced team than what they've had in the past.
Yeah, and the last time they played the Vikings back earlier in the season, they jumped out to a 21-0 lead very early in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't score the rest of the day. And, you know, ended up winning like 21-16. So, you know, the Packer offense has at times this year just gotten off to a good lead and just kind of relaxed on it. The one thing that bothers me about the Packers, you know, what hangs in my mind is that loss in San Francisco a few weeks ago where they just got crushed
right.
San Francisco. I look back at that and I'm thinking, boy, can the Packers go to San Francisco? Can they go to Seattle? Can they go to New Orleans? It would a playoff game. Not so sure about that.
All right. Well, we're about to find out. We're getting close to the end of the season. Of course, the NFC North title is still up for grabs. You can follow the very popular Chuck Freeman on Twitter at Chuck, F-R-E-I-M-U-N-D. And he's part of 105.7 The Fan, our affiliate in Milwaukee. Merry Christmas to you, Chuck. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Merry Christmas, Amy. And you're the only one who ever gets my name right. Thank you.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Here on After Hours, we end every show the same way.
Boom! I just laid down the A-law. Boom!
You know it. You love it. Now we're cranking it up a notch. After Hours presents the best highlights.
Foles running up and down the line. It's a direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
Boom!
So we got a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back. It's a grand slam! They're going in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of Game 5. Do you believe it?
It's the boom moment of the week. Here's Amy Lawrence. Boom.
Freeze is under center. The snap, the spin, the fake handoff, drop back seven, throws a soft pass in the end zone. Backpedaling catch, touchdown. It's grabbed by Hill. That's it. That's the record. Drew Brees is thrown for more touchdown passes than any quarterback in professional football history. Drew Brees atop the list and perhaps never to be caught.
It was special. Everything about the night. I don't know how they pick them, right? Monday Night Football, playing the Colts, right? The team that we won the Super Bowl against 10 years ago. So the whole Super Bowl 44 team is back for the 10th anniversary. And obviously national television, you know, big game. And now, you know, that record in the balance as well.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was a special night. It was Monday. It feels like forever ago, and yet the record-setting night for Drew Brees in the Superdome, 70,001 fans. I'm not sure I'll ever forget that. The call with Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One Radio Network. And, of course, now Drew sits at 541 career touchdown passes. Tom Brady is just behind Peyton Manning, who, of course, is not throwing anymore. But he's at 538. So you've got two guys that could push each other however long they play. It certainly seems like Drew has got years to go. That could always change, but he continues to zip the football around. And now, coming up this weekend, now remember that the Saints can finish anywhere between 1-3 in the NFC standings. They do not have the tie break with the Packers or the Niners. So the Saints are in a position where they still have so much to play for. And coming up this weekend, they are also battling a team. Now they're on the road. They're in Nashville. They're also battling a team that has a lot on the line and that needs to scrape and scratch and claw because they don't have any margin for error. And that's the Tennessee Titans. So how do you take what happened on Monday, Drew Brees, and carry that forward?
It was a pretty efficient game on Monday night, right? I felt like we were hitting on all cylinders, both in the run game and the pass game. Of course, there's still some meat left on the bone, so to speak. And listen, every game's a little different, right? You know, you don't know what opportunities are gonna be there.
They're playing ping pong in the background always. Whenever Drew talks in the middle of the week, they're playing ping pong in the background. It's not only the Saints locker room, but it always makes me laugh because you can hear the ping pong so distinctly. So, yes, a very efficient game. Remember his stat line? 29 of 30. He's had 22 consecutive completions. He can actually break the NFL record if he starts out hot and completes, what, four more passes in the first quarter of this game against the Titans. And he set a brand new record for single game completion rate, not to mention the four touchdown passes. The Colts were essentially a sacrificial lamb. They were officially eliminated from the playoffs. When it comes to the Saints and the Titans now, Tennessee at 8-6, they are hoping to be able to sneak in as the playoff, the wild card. Well, they could still win the AFC South, so I shouldn't get ahead of myself. The Texans do have that game lead, though, so there's a lot of jostling that could still happen. The Steelers, the Titans have the same record at 8-6. Technically, the 6-8 Browns are still alive for a playoff spot, and they, of course, will be hosting the Ravens this weekend. Does it feel like forever since we've seen the Ravens? Because they haven't played since Thursday of Week 15, so it's now been more than a week since we've seen the team with the best record in the NFL. 855-212-4227. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Gary's in Jacksonville. Welcome to After Hours.
Merry Christmas, Amy.
Thank you. You too.
And my favorite song, it's got to be Mariah Carey. All I Want for Christmas is You. She's a goddess to me. So
okay.
Everything she does is great.
I'm sure she's singing just to you.
One can dream, Amy, one can dream. But seriously, enjoy your time with your mom. I lost my mom in 2015, so try not to fight much and just enjoy every minute you can with her.
All right, no bickering. I got it.
And, Amy, remember I called you a couple weeks ago. I said that there should be some changes in the Jacksonville front office because, no offense to you, Amy, but sometimes our locals, we know what's going on. Even though I'm not a Jacksonville fan, I knew there was a lot of trouble with the team.
No, we all knew that. I mean, we knew that because of Jalen Ramsey. We knew that because of the bickering. You talk about bickering on the sidelines going back to last year. In the locker room, there were fights. So did I tell you at the time there were no changes coming?
No. But,
I didn't think so.
I mean, you kind of dismissed it saying give the front office a chance or something to that effect, but I don't want to argue with Christmas. The game I'm looking forward to is the Dallas Cowboys imploding and blowing the playoff chance, and because every year it's not really the team, Amy, that I just like. The fan base just annoys me to all. With
I feel like every we all year, have that.
Every year they're going to the Super Bowl, and every year they underachieve. And that guy talked about only one losing season. Well, Don Shula and my Dolphins coached more than 20 years with only one losing season in Miami.
Well,
thanks, Amy.
Okay. I appreciate that, Gary. I don't think that there is a sports fan alive who doesn't have another fan base that annoys him or her royally. We all get annoyed pretty easily when it comes to our sports loyalties. I am, of course, not going to tell you which sports fan bases annoy me because that would be detrimental to the national radio show's popularity. After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, what's the game you're most looking forward to? We've got the full schedule up on our Facebook page. We've also got the poll up on Twitter. But either one, whatever floats your Friday boat, baby. Let's do one more quick call, and then I'm going to go through some of your elf names. Crystal's in Maryland. I'll give you about 90 seconds, Crystal. Go ahead.
Good morning, Amy.
Morning.
So the name I picked for your elf would be Arlo. You could do Arlo Smalls, even.
I like Arlo. I don't know why I like Arlo. Did you pick that for a particular reason?
No, my husband actually picked it.
Oh, that is very original. Can I just tell you that he and you, now communicating it, are the only ones to suggest Arlo.
And when he said it, I was like, oh, I really like that name. So it's kind of different.
It is. It's also a good dog name, I feel like, for a boy dog, not for a girl dog.
Right. True. And the game I'm looking forward to is the Ravens and Browns because my husband is a big Ravens fan. So
it's an opportunity. I don't think they need the vindication, but of course they want to win that top seed if possible and have the home field. But it's also a chance to answer the questions. How did you lose to Cleveland? They've been hearing them now for like 2 months.
Yeah. So you have a Merry Christmas, and I love your show. We listen to you every morning. So.
Oh, thanks, Crystal. Tell your husband Merry Christmas, and I hope you guys have a happy holidays.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
So we've had some really unique names, creative names like that one, Arlo. The ones that make me laugh are the ones that I'm going to share with you from our Facebook page, and then we'll see if we can find some more on Twitter. Daryl says Lamarvelous. Is there an elf that could possibly look any different than Lamar Jackson? Look any different, be shaped any different, probably have a different job and a different role on this planet. So that would be hyperbole, I guess. I mean, just hoping that he would be Lamarvelous like Lamar Jackson. Brian says jolly. I don't know why, but it doesn't look jolly to me. And I kind of feel like naming the poor guy Jolly after he was left with the price tag. He's kind of homeless here in the studio until we adopted him. Also on Facebook, Greg says Brent Snedeker. Which, do you not think he looks like the golfer Brent Snedeker? I actually think he does. Minus the elf outfit, I kind of feel like that looks like Brent Snedeker. If you haven't seen the photo, it's on our Facebook page, the elf. We freed him. We took off the price tag. I also have been, I've been hanging on to him here so he feels loved. But yes, Brent Snedeker is a great one. Some of you, I feel like you're trying way too hard, but some of you have got some good ones. Chuck says Hermie from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Dan says he's definitely a Winnie. Winnie? Here's what I think of when I hear Winnie. Wonder Years. This is not a Winnie, but maybe there's another famous Winnie that I just am not thinking of.
The Pooh.
Yes, right, but he's not a bear. Good point, Chris. Yep, that was me. So here's a couple of other ones that are funny. Larry says Jolly Roger. Do you guys, wait, Chris, were you working with me when I got it mixed
the
up?
Jolly Rancher, ladies
yeah,
and gentlemen.
That's right. When yes. I said raise the Jolly Rancher, oh my gosh, Pittsburgh fans were so mad at me as if I did it on purpose. It's a great candy. How about this from Steve? Just call him Mr. Big Chest. Oh, that didn't even get a smile in the control room. Okay, so we're not going to call him Mr. Big Chest.
We're Antonio Brown out for the season.
Yeah, no, we are anti-Antonio Brown for the season, to be sure. So what do we do? What do we settle on for the elf? He needs to have a name before we get off the air.
Sheldon Smalls.
Roger Goodelf.
You know what? That's a mic drop if I've ever heard one right there.
Roger Goodelf. That comes from Michael on Twitter. So Preston says the red dragon, which I just feel like he doesn't look so much like a dragon. Quick. Is it going to be Sheldon Smalls or Roger Goodelf?
Roger Goodelf. Case closed.
Okay. Well, we finally got Brian over on Sheldon Smalls. You know what we're going to go? Sheldon Smalls, a.k.a. Roger Goodelf. I will be back with you Sunday night. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you then after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.